Okay, so just quickly review what we did so far, whatever we need for today. So we have a basic machlokas about what the sound of trua is in the Torah. Torah says blow trua, yom trua yalachan. Blow trua, what does trua mean? So there are different options. Okay, but one option is a shvarim, what we call shvarim, another option what we call trua, another option is shvarim trua. So just to take the, so trua and shvarim are two types of cries. The shvarim trua isn't exactly a type of cry, but the Gemara says when something bad happens to a person, first they do moaning, first they do shvarim, and then they do trua. So that would be the argument why you'd be doing that. So we want to define the machlokas whether you say it's one sound, either shvarim or trua, versus the other logic to say that it's the combo of both of them. So we said that definitely, I'm cutting to the chase here, but definitely the mitzvah of blowing shofar is to replicate crying. But we said crying could be looked at in two ways. You can look at the sound, the chafza of a cry, it's a certain type of a call, the sound of a cry, in which case there's two kinds of cries. There's the shvarim cry and the trua cry. Those are two different sounds, each of which has the character of a cry. But then there's a different framework, and in that framework, the framework of the sound, shvarim trua is just two things. It's not one entity, it's not one call, it's just a combination. So there's another framework of crying which is not as a sound, not as like a musical acoustical sound, but as an action of a gavra. It's an experience, like a person crying. The activity of crying involves a person breaking down, going from the shvarim to the trua. So the question is the mitzvah of the shofar that you're producing a kol, a chafza of a sound, which resembles the cry, in which case you have two options, either shvarim or trua, or do you say that you're the chafza of the sound of the shofar resembles the gavra crying, in which case it's going to be the both of them, the combination. Right? That's basically what we had there. Okay? In a nutshell. Today the question is whether or not the shvarim terua, when we do shvarim terua, are they in one breath or two breaths? Okay, do you breathe in between the shvarim and the terua? So the Gemara is on Yudam Abayz, and the Ran in the Daf Erech, Daf Yudam Abayz, it says it's basically about, I'd say, two-thirds of the way down. The last word in line is Hashavaran. It says, Umi kol makom, sarvli zoher lahasos Hashavarim kulan, avayvos kvayvos kulan min shimachas. Okay, so you have to be careful to do the cries and the moans, the shvarims and the truas, in one breath. The shvarim yivos l'didan bradam yitzachas in yo, kitiyo v'chua.
Excuse me, where is this?
Yeah. So definitely, according to us, the Shvarim and the Yevavos, right, are one mitzvah. See, the last word in the line is Hashavarim. Yudam Abayz.
It's about 10 lines up in the bottom left.
Yeah. So definitely, the shvarim and the trua are one mitzvah. Okay, are one mitzvah. Okay, just like the tekiah and the trua, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. So Rabbi Yehuda, as I say, is a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim about whether or not the three sounds, tekiah, trua, tekiah, are one mitzvah or three mitzvahs. Okay? And whether you count them as one or you count them as three. And the difference is, the practical difference is whether you have to do them in one breath or in two breaths. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you do tekiah, trua, tekiah all in one breath. Okay? Because it's one action of blowing tekiah, trua, tekiah. It's one mitzvah. Whereas we hold that no, they're really three separate mitzvahs, and therefore you do them in three breaths. Tekiah, trua, tekiah. Okay, but shvarim trua, the Ran Ari says, shvarim trua is one mitzvah according to us. Because the Torah says teruah. And we just hold what teruah means is shvarim teruah, you know, according to the, within that side. So the Torah means shvarim teruah, means that's the mitzvah, shvarim teruah. It's one unit, shvarim teruah. So just like according to Rabbi Yehuda, the one unit is tekiah, teruah, tekiah, and you do it all in one breath. So we don't hold that the tekiah is one unit with the teruahs, but we do hold that the teruah itself is one mitzvah, and therefore if you're doing shvarim teruah as your teruah, so then you're going to have to do that in one breath. Right? And he says, just like according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to do tekiah and teruah in one breath. So too, according to us, that shvarim and yivavos are one mitzvah. Right? V'im hosef, shever, echod, v'aso, v'nishim al-chara, asal d'vei ha-ramban, zal, pasal, kalasam. So if, for instance, you do an extra shever, let's say you do four shvarim, but you do three shvarim, two, breathe, then two, an additional, you add another one, then you're just going to ruin the whole set. The kivon shefrida la'atzmo, ina min ha-shvarim, because since you separated it out of the separate breath, it's not part of the shvarim. V'hipsik min shvarim l'truah. And shvarim, it's probably changed. The tekiah, and now you have a break between the shvarim and tekiah. Right? So you're saying it is, just like you can't have a gap in the shvarim with a breath, you can't have a gap between the shvarim and the truah with a breath, because it's one unit. Right? That's what the Ramban holds. Rabbeinu Tam zal kasav b'tshuva de shalosh shvarim b'neshima achas of din lo. The makom true nenu. That the three truah, the three shvarim, definitely have to do in one breath, because it's one truah. Avos gimel shvarim v'truah de tashrat lo mistaver. But when it comes to the tashrat, the shvarim truah, it's not mistaver. It's not illogical to say that you should do them in one breath. Because a person doesn't do that. A person doesn't moan and cry, hysterically cry, in one breath. And since a person doesn't do that, therefore you don't do that when you blow shofar. Okay? Ramban argues, because it's one teruah, it's one mitzvah teruah. Ve'in roi la'afzik one, it's not appropriate to be mafzik, to stop in the middle. Afal pishein kolos mechlokim. Right? Even if though the shvarim and teruah are different sounds, you'll say, how could you combine them together? They're different sounds. Hare einan yosu mechlokim mipshuta u'shvarim u'teruah li'vidar yura. But the Mishorim Shurna, they don't. So it's not any more separate than according to Rabbi Yehuda. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda holds tekiah, teruah, tekiah is all in one breath. Certainly tekiah and teruah are different sounds, but since it's one mitzvah, so therefore he says do it in one breath. So too according to us, shvarim teruah, even though they're different sounds, but since it's one mitzvah, you do it in one breath. Right? That's Ramban's argument. But Rabbeinu Tam argues, he says no, he says, whoever heard of doing shvarim, who cries like that? Who cries with shvarim and teruah one breath? Since no one does that, therefore he has to do them two breaths. Rabban says, yeah, but it's one mitzvah, it's one breath. So the question is, what's the svar for this makom? So they're asking is, whoever heard, why is there a din of hafzik of breathing? Whoever heard of a breathing being hafzik? But here, the question is, I don't know if it's a hafzik or a break, it's more of like it's one action of blowing. So it's one blow. So if you take a breath, it's not one blow, it's two blows. And you're saying it's one mitzvah, so it's one blow. Alright? The nature of the action of blowing is such that it's take a breath and then you blow. Take two breaths, it's two blows. It's like blowing is like a way of exhaling with an instrument in your mouth. And your tongue, whatever else you're doing. Alright, but that's the action of a blow. Right? Like a bugle horn. It's one blow. You blow it again, it's another bugle horn. It's a different action. Right, and the Rambam brings down all these things. He basically brings down the problem that we don't know what tekiah teruah is, if it's shvarim teruah or shvarim or teruah. So therefore, he says we basically do three sets of each. Okay, we do three because the mitzvah is really the oraisa. The mitzvah is you have to do nine sounds of shofar, nine sounds: tekiah teruah, tekiah, tekiah teruah, tekiah, tekiah teruah, tekiah. But the problem is we don't know what teruah is. We don't know if teruah means teruah or it means shvarim or it means shvarim teruah. So therefore, we end up having to do it there's 9 sounds, I have to repeat them 3 times. Right, so that gives us in total, how many kolos?
37.
Okay, 30. So it depends how you add, but if you're good at math, you say 30, but if it seems 27, right? But it is 30, the Dharma says 30, right? So in theory, if 9 times 3 is 27. But the thing is, apparently the Rambam counts Shram Shua as 2. Shram Shua as 2. So you may ask, why do you count the Shram Shua as 2? After all, they're not 2. They're 1. Right? So what do you answer to that?
That the Rambam holds that there's a separation in between.
So you could argue that, yeah, I mean, it's not clear. He doesn't say this explicitly, but he definitely is counting them as 2. Maybe he argues there's a separation between. Right? It would seem so.
He would say that you would have to make a separation between, or you can't.
Mm. Or he could simply say that there, it's one, it's just 2 sounds. It's not really that it's a separate thing. It's one part of the Mitzvah Shofar, however, it's 2 different types of sounds, so therefore it's 2 sounds.
Yeah, he says, Shnei kechad, ha'anacha v'ha'yalala. Shadarka lova achareha. So it's the cry, the moan, and then the cry which comes after it. Shekaftorach doeg, when you're worried. Misaneach tchila, first you moan, ve'achar kach miala. And then you cry. It's not clear. He doesn't say explicitly. I hear what you're saying is maybe he doesn't take a breath, but still it's 2 sounds. Right, that's what you're saying, because you're changing sounds, so maybe you'll count it as 2.
Isn't the way he's saying, isn't it, sound exactly like being a town?
Minyatakis. It sounds like it. It sounds like it. Acharkach, right? You know, he doesn't say explicitly the idea of in 2 breaths, but it would seem so. In fact, I think they ask on him. I can't remember who. I thought it was the Ritva. But they ask, why is Ram counting it as, why is he counting it as 30? Should he only count it as 29? Maybe it's the Ram. 27. Okay, so this is the guys are saying. So I think it's Sam and Yonah. You're kind of saying same approach here, but maybe just to tie it back together with also what we said yesterday, is that there's the big problem here is, okay, and this is a review of what we just said in other Svar, is that the big problem here is that how do you, there's like there's like 2 factors here. On the one hand, there's the mitzvah is crying. Mitzvah is to cry, Yom Teruah. On the other hand, it's using a shofar. And a shofar is a musical instrument. It's a horn which blasts. It makes like blasting noises, so that's the general thing. So it's, and it makes music, it makes sounds. So that's what he said, is that the shvarim position held that the cry has to be a blast which has the property of crying. And that's why it's a straight sound which is broken into pieces. But it's not a cry, because who cries? You don't cry using a shofar, right? Whereas the Shua position says that no, since the whole idea is you're creating it's Yom Teruah, it's Day of Cry, so therefore the sound that you make is not the ordinary shofar sound, but is a different sound, but it's the sound which is the prototypical cry, which is the Teruah, right? But both of them are saying that you're producing a sound. You're producing an ordinary sound. You're producing the sound of this cry, the sound of that cry. It's a call, you're producing a call. No, you're not producing Shvar and Shua, because that's not a call, that's like a combo. Right? But the mitzvah is to produce a call, which is a cry, and the question is which type of cry. Right? Whereas the new sheet, the new Shvar and Shua position maintains that it's not really just to produce a sound, but the mitzvah is to replicate the crier, the person crying. The person crying is Shvar and Shua, right? It does both of them. But now within that idea, there's 2 ways to go. You could say is that the mitzvah is not really to produce a call. The mitzvah is kind of the way we were saying it, is that the mitzvah is not really producing a call, producing a sound. Rather, the mitzvah is to do an action of replicating a crier, replicating a person who cries. That's the mitzvah. Okay, and that turned out involves 2 calls. It's 1 mitzvah, it's a mitzvah to replicate the crier. Now a crier does, he does 2 separate calls. First he moans, then he changes his mind or gets further into his sorrow, takes a breath and does a shua, right? So it's saying it's in the mitzvah is to replicate a crier, so therefore it's true it's going to be 2 kolos. That doesn't matter, it's 2 kolos. But the point is, that's the way a guy cries. So in terms of the minyan of kolos, and it's kind of chayim with yours, and in terms of the minyan of kolos, there's it's could be 30. There's two kolos. And all that, but it's probably nishim and nishimos, because that's the, if the idea is that you're mimicking a crier, so the crier does it in two breaths. That's the mitzvah, doing two breaths. That's Rabbeinu Tam. But the Ramban says is he does not want to go that far. He's not willing to separate the mitzvah from being to produce a kol. Tkiya true tkiya. Torah says, how many kolos? The kol, you're chayav to produce a kol shofar. The mitzvah is to blow a certain type of a kol. Now it's true that the kol which you're trying to, notice, you hold that you're doing a kol which is in line with the gavra of a crier. He's like the other guys that it's a kol. But he says it's not an ordinary kind of kol. Whereas the shtarim and the trua hold that it's a kol, it has to be an ordinary sound, an ordinary acoustical sound. But here the sound is a sound which emerges out of the experience of crying. And there before, it's a double sound. Okay, it's a new kind of a sound. That's his chiddush. The Ramban learns that this position is still in the same camp. He's not so far removed from the shram and the chua position, which is that you're producing a call. But he says it's a new kind of a call. It's a complex call. It's not a simple call like a shvaram or a chua. But it's a new complex call, which is a shvaram chua, which is a segue between shvaram and chua. And that reflects the gavra of cries. It's not actually mimicking the gavra cries. The gavra cries takes a break in between. But it's producing a kol, and since it's a kol, it has to be, it can't have breaks in between. A kol doesn't have breaks. But it's a kol which contains both characteristics or both parts of the gavra who cries. But it's still a kol. Okay, not a simple kol, not a kol like a shvaram or a kol like a shua. It's a new idea. The chiddush of shvaram shua is within the framework of a kol, but it generates a new kind of a kol, a complex kol, a double kol, a kol which contains from piecing together two different kolos. Right? Whereas the post of Rabbi Tam, the shvaram shua position holds, it's not producing a kol. It's simply to mimic the gavra who cries. And however many kolos that is, it doesn't matter. That's not the point. The mitzvah is it's not really to produce a kol. I mean, you're saying a blast. It's the same thing. I'm saying like a blast is more like the tekiah, but the blowing. You know, a kol is like a sound. You know, it's one sound. So the simple way to learn is yom chua, is you're making a sound, the trua. But the shvaram chua is saying is yeah, but you're trying to mimic the crier. So is that to the exclusion of the phenomenon of a kol, or it's determining and forges a new kind of a call, but it's not actually the gavra crying. It's not actually mimicking the gavra crying. You're just producing a call. You're producing a call which conceptually points to the full experience of crying. Or are you actually mimicking the person who cries? I mean, you're producing a musical note which reflects the full crying experience, or are you actually doing an action of blowing which mimics the crier? Right?
Yeah,
there's very much the development of what we were saying yesterday. It's kind of like how you set up this idea of on the one hand it's a cry, on the other hand it's a shofar. You know? Yeah, Chaim mentions correctly. It's technically it's supposed to hear the sound. So I'm saying to blow, but really it's... I mean, that's the whole kind of thing. So the maisa is the blowing, but the mitzvah is the shmiah.
You can blow if you have the obligation to hear.
Yeah.
So,
right, exactly. Yeah. They go together. But to you, technically speaking, but whatever I'm saying here, you could equally say, I'm saying blow loosely, but I mean here, blow, whichever one, that's the other sugya, you know, how that messes itself up. But it's a good point. Why don't we digress for a second? Is there a question, by the way? Okay, I'm going to digress for a second. I mean, there's one other point which I said I wanted to take up, but maybe I want to take up this point before I do that in case we don't get to it, which is, it's philosophical. Philosophical point, but Yona asked me yesterday, it's like, what's the idea? Perhaps we'll come back at the end if we have more time. But what's the idea of shofar? Like, what's the philosophical idea of shofar? And that's very kind of chuckled. That's a loaded question because there's many, many, I've heard many over the years, there have been many different ideas in shofar. I mean, I think there's a list of 10 different reasons in shofar. It's like it's a mitzvah which is packed with ideas. And it's not mutually exclusive. When God gives a mitzvah, there's nothing to say that it has to have one exclusive reason. And usually when a human being does something, they have one reason, maybe two, and it's how many reasons could a person have. But But in God's system, there's no principle that has to be one mitzvah and one reason. And presumably most mitzvahs have different reasons. But I don't know, especially the mitzvah shofar somehow has, at least from my experience, I've seen many, many different ideas. But just one idea, which you could almost, and this is like an interesting, from this sugya, what's coming out from this sugya, and maybe we could use this sugya to propel us towards an idea, and to borrow a Rambam. But you could ask a question. It's like, what's funny about this sugya, the main idea which is coming out from this sugya, is that the mitzvah of shofar, there's like a dichotomy in the mitzvah of shofar, which is that on the one hand, it's an action of crying, or it's you're producing a cry. But at the same time, it's a cry with a shofar, right? With an instrument, right? And that's kind of why this sugya is sticky. Because, like, crying points to just like a trua, or a shvarim trua, you know? The natural cry. But, like, at the same time, you kind of have to work it into with an instrument, with a horn, which is not exactly a vehicle of crying. I mean, any instrument isn't exactly crying. Usually you cry without an instrument. And here especially, you're picking a horn, which is like a blasting instrument, you know? So it's like, in a certain sense, it's like that's kind of what the tricky part of the sugya is. How do you work those two things together? Right? That's what we've been talking about the past few days. But you could ask, and this would be beyond the bounds of the halacha, but we're talking philosophy here, but you could say, that's kind of a funny thing for the Torah to do. Right? I mean, why do that? I mean, if you want to say it's a day of crying, so you get up and cry. That should be the mitzvah. He gets up in shul, and the Baal Bechia, said the Baal Tokeya, will get up and start crying. And then it would probably have been a Teruah cry, because that's the real cry. Right? I mean, then we wouldn't have any problems. Or maybe the Shvarim Teruah.
How do you get someone to just go up there and cry?
Okay, I don't know. You got a good guy. But I know, it would be funny, but...
Or if everybody simply cried.
Yeah.
Because it was just for everybody here shofar, so everybody would just cry.
Yeah, right, you'd cry, everyone would cry.
Make this sound.
Maybe you work it out. I mean, look, I understand that sounds funny, but if that were the mitzvah, then you'd say shofar sounds funny. You know, where you take a horn and you cry with a horn, whoever heard of that. So, I mean, it's hard to, you know. I'm just saying, it's like, it's kind of funny. We're dealing with the sugya. It's like, oh, how do you work out? Shofar implies one thing, crying implies another thing. Well, you're right, so why is the mitzvah that way? So, look, when you're doing a sugya, you say, no one asked me this question because it's not a good halakha question, because that's the given. It's clear that the mitzvah is crying, and it's clear that it's with the shofar. And that's it. So why did it that? I don't know. That's the given. And now the question is, how would you set it up? How do you formulate it as a law? And that's what we're dealing with. And I'm interested in the why. The why is a philosophical question. Okay, so it's good no one's asked me that. But it is kind of, if you take a step back and you realize, that is kind of funny. Right? I mean, it just stands out at you when you realize what's going on here. I mean, we just came to that because the sugya brought us there. And our definitions brought us there. But it kind of, you know, it is a bit bothersome. So, I was thinking, what's the idea of the crying, you know? So, I'm not sure about this, but I think what I'm saying is a true idea. I'm just not sure if this is exactly what the Rama means. But so I'll tell you what the Rama says. He says, Afa pish tkiya shofar b'roshan egzeres hakasov. Even though the mitzvah of shofar is egzeres hakasov, which means it's a pasuk, the Torah says you have to do it. Period. That's the law. Why are you blowing shofar on Hashanah? Because Hashem said so. Okay? Even though that's the case, remez yeshba. There is a hint. There's a hint in it. It points to an idea. It points to a significant idea. Okay? Kilomar, that is to say, Uru, Uru, Yeshenim, Mishinaskam. Wake up! Wake up! Sleepy ones from your sleep. Vekitsu, Nirdamim, Yitar Demaskam. And arise, awaken, slumberers from your deep sleep. Vechipshu, Bimaasechem. And search into your actions. V'chizru b'tshuva, and return in tshuva. V'zichru b'ra'achem, and remember your Creator. Remember your Creator. Elu, who are these sleepy ones? Elu ha'shochachem es ha'emes v'havle hazman. These are those who forget the truth in their wastes of time. V'shogim kol shinah shenasam v'hevel v'rek. They involve all their years with emptiness and nothingness. Asher lo yoel v'lo yatzil. It was stuff which doesn't help a person, doesn't save a person. Hebitu l'nafsho seichem. Look into your souls. Ve'etivu darkechem u'ma'alechem, and make good your paths and your actions. Ve'yazov kol echad mikem darko ra, and each one of you, every one of you, should give up his evil way, his bad way. U'machshavta v'ashelotova, and your thoughts that are not good. Okay? So that's the message, so to speak, of Shofar. The message of Shofar is a wake-up call. Wake-up call to wake up, realize that you're wasting your time and your energy, and correct your paths and do tshuva. Okay? So, is he explaining, this I'm not sure about exactly, is this explaining the key or the tshuva, or both?
Seems to be explaining just the tekiah.
No? Tekiah, because
it's just a loud sound.
Wake up. Yeah. Wake up. It's an alarm clock. Most alarm clocks sound more like tekiahs or shvarams than shvarams. The modern day one is.
You can say it's also tefillah because imagine your next door neighbor loses a relative.
Yeah.
And so they're crying. And you go and you visit Shiva.
Yeah.
And while you're visiting Shiva, you realize.
Right.
From their crying,
right.
Wait, this could happen to anyone.
Right.
This could happen to me at any time.
Right.
I should probably
right.
do something about
mm-hmm.
that.
Okay, good. Good. Someone else? Is that good? Yeah, so it could be it's both. Again, I'm not sure if the Rama means both, but I was thinking something like Chaim also, and what Sammy was saying, that there's a wake-up call. It's wake up. But the wake-up call is not just a wake-up call, it's time to go to work. It's wake up and realize the depressing state that you're in. You know, the wake-up call, you wake up and then cry about your state. Like tshuva, there's an idea of like a person should bring a person to like a cry. A person is like, who does tshuva, is like an idea, is like lowly and he feels humble and realizes he regrets and he's embarrassed. And there's the idea of tshuva is like, look at you, like what I'm saying is like, look at you wasting your time and your energy and your life and, you know, make yourself better. And the tshuva process should, a person who's doing tshuva should really be in a state where he's crying. There's a state of mind where a person is questioning and realizing how he's made mistakes and he's living improperly and all his energies, he's wasting all his time and energy, things which don't really get him anywhere. And so the thoughts of tshuva itself bring a person to crying. But a person can't just start crying and start doing tshuva. First, you need a wake-up call. So that's what it could be. It's like the tekiah wakes you up, and then when you wake up and you think things through, then it brings to mind the cry. And I don't know if I'm not saying this explicitly. I'm kind of reading a little bit into it. But the point is that I think there is a cry of the shofar, which is a cry of a person who does tshuva. And a person who does tshuva is a person who truly recognizes his mistakes. And he realizes how he's harmed himself through living the life that he has left, and continues to live. And that's the, I think there's a cry when a person realizes that, how he's fooled himself, and how he's been living this illusion. That's a sad thought, and that sad thought should really bring a person to propel a person forward to make his life better. So if that's the case, so it could be that the cry of Rosh Hashanah is the cry of the shofar is not exactly like just an emotional cry. It is and it isn't. Okay, it's a cry. It is emotional because it has an emotional content to it. But you can't just tell a person to cry to do the cry of tshuva because it's fake. It doesn't work that way. Okay, the cry of tshuva has to emerge from like a higher recognition. It, so to speak, emerges from an intellectual recognition, from a person thinking through, waking up, and realizing, thinking through his life, and when he gains insight and he realizes that brings him to the cry. So the cry of Rosh Hashanah is not, cry of the shofar, is not just a base emotional cry, like if you lose a relative, you cry. A person can't cry that he's a chotai. Just doesn't work. You can't just say, okay, it's Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to cry that I'm just saying I'm a sinner. Because the crying, it's a fake. The only crying, the real crying that you're a sinner, comes from a person who gains insight and he thinks into his life and he doesn't just work, you work yourself up, that's not real. I mean, you can just, get yourself all worked up, but that's not really the cry of Rosh Hashanah. Kriya Roshana is based upon insight and thinking into one's life and realizing that their sins and the way they've been living poorly. And that brings a person to a true cry, a cry which is, it has, certainly it's emotional at that point, because then you realize what you've done and how you're living, and that does hit you emotionally, and then you cry. So it could be is like the mitzvah of shofar specifically, that it's not set up like the mitzvah to have someone get up and cry. Because that's not, it's a more sophisticated cry than that. It's not the emotional cry that a person just, like the cry of a funeral, where a person just starts crying, or starts moaning. But the cry is a cry which is based upon an intellectual recognition. You know, it's based upon an analysis. It's more sophisticated and more removed from the base emotional cry. And it could be the way the Torah set that up is that it's a cry with a shofar. Okay? Which means it's like an act, you're really not crying. You're really doing an action of blowing an instrument. But the sound that the instrument is making is the sound of a cry. And that brings to mind the idea that we should be crying, which is the sound that's like, wake up and cry. And that should bring to mind the idea that we should wake up and think into our lives and do tshuva, and that's something which is worthy of crying about. But the mitzvah is not itself the cry. The mitzvah is not the emotional cry that you did tshuva. It's a wake-up call that you should be crying. You know what I mean? And it points to the idea of the cry of tshuva. But it's not actually the cry. That's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is a stimulus to the cry. I mean, that's the way mitzvahs work. Mitzvahs are actions which point to ideas. So it's a mitzvah which it's an action of a blowing which points, which mimics a cry, because it points you to the cry, to the cry of tshuva. But it's not, if you're just crying, then it would just be like an emotional mitzvah. That's not the idea. The mitzvah, the cry of Rosh Hashanah can only be realized through intellect and through a thinking into tshuva has to be a person really thinking into their life and really coming to a true recognition of the lowliness of their life.
How does having a...
The reason why shofar makes it more intellectual is because that was the idea of a cry. Once you tell a person to cry, you say, okay, cry like this. Take an instrument. You're ready to cry? Take an instrument and now cry into the instrument. No one's, that's not going to satisfy a crier. The idea is it's like it's making it into an action, a controlled, you know, careful action, as opposed to just an outpouring. That's why no one would cry with a shofar. If you go to a funeral, you ever like at a funeral, and you go over to the mourner and say, "Here's a shofar," no one's going to be interested in using it. It's not going to help, because that's not. You have to think. It's like a skill. It's a skill. Crying is a pure emotional thing. In fact, doesn't they say? Remember this? Yatzu Tekiah. Who is it? I don't know. Last year, I think it was this last year. It's Yatzu Tekiah shofar shui chachma ve'ina malacha. Those are things that they're not there. The verses there, chachma, they're not malacha. It's talking about the Shabbos. It's when you're doing Shabbos. There's an annex or whatever. But it says that it's the Gemara says it's a chachma, but it's not a malacha. The chachma meant it's a skill. But it's a skill. A skill. It calls it a chachma.
Also derabanan.
Yes, correct. But not deraisa. But the point is that it's a chachma. It calls it a chachma. Now it's not actually. It's not really a chachma. Like chachma, like science.
Music. You mean music and
chemistry. Yeah, music is like a chachma, right? What it means it's a skill. I don't think it's referring to the fact that it involves, because the other thing is also like taking bread off the oven, but it's a skill, which means skill is against them. A person is skillful, it's not the same type of, like, I'm crying is a purely surrender to the emotion. Using a shofar shows that it's removed. It's an action which is thought out and directed with intellect, but it brings to mind the emotion of the cry. And it points a person towards the fact that they should be doing tshuva today. You know, and awakens a person to tshuva. And it's kind of the derech of mitzvahs in general. It's like, mitzvahs point to ideas. You know what I mean? And it's set up in that way. If it was just crying, then the mitzvah would be a day that everybody just works themselves up into emotional frenzy. No one's doing tshuva like that. That's something which works for that day, everyone's crying, but then everyone the next day, then everyone forgets about their crying. If it's not based upon insight, it's like they're almost. It's shayach to read this Rambam carefully on your own. I mean, he's very descriptive about how your life is. You know, you're wasting your time and stupidity, and things don't help. And you know, he gives a lot of words there. You know, but to use that and think about it, it's interesting. He doesn't even. He's not even talking about sins that we're doing, or the averis. He's talking about like the energies, our life. What are we doing? Where's our energy going? What are we accomplishing? What, you know? It's not even, he's talking very generically, very loosely, you know? More, of course, that involves the sins that we're doing, but it's more about our life. What are we doing with ourselves, you know?
It's the 90% in between doing really good stuff and doing bad stuff.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's the majority of our time.
Exactly.
Just lounging
around. Exactly. But that's what's depressing. I mean, that's what could get a person to cry. I mean, of course the sins get a person to cry, but it's fine. Put your sins aside. But still, what are you doing? What are you doing with yourself? What's your energies? Where's your head? Where are your energies? What are you thinking about? What your energy is not all, is not as productive. You can be more productive. You could, you know. I mean, of course, it includes everything, but I'm saying it's something, it's this kind of thing, if a person really thinks these things through, it could move a person to cry or to tshuva, you know, but it's not the actual cry which matters, it's the concept, the internal cry, you know, and again, the mitzvah is constructed, you know, I think the mitzvah is constructed in a way at that point, you know, it's not an actual cry, that's why I say it's a yom tshuva, the day of crying, you'd think it would mean, it's a day where we just sit around, like in Tisha B'Av. Right, maybe, you know, like, or you can imagine, like, a Tisha B'Av, you know, just everyone sitting around, like, as if, like, some sort of tragedy just happened. It's not what Rosh Hashanah is, a day of crying, but what are you blowing shofar? But because it's not the emotional, it's not, there's an emotional, again, there is certainly an emotional component to the cry, but it's after the intellect, the emotion follows. You know, it's based on intellect. Kind of like Avos Hashem, the people ask that question, Avos Hashem, an emotion or an intellect? It's an emotion which follows the intellectual recognition. So that's a true emotion, which is based upon an insight. Same thing here. The cry is an emotion, for sure. But it's based upon insight that one gains through tshuva. Hmm. Let's have an idea in the tshuva, is remembering God. Apparently people forget. Tshuva is about forgetting God. I mean, it's a person who remembers God and always has God in their mind's eye. They're not going to be involved in these things, a waste of time. The person who's part of tshuva is becoming closer to God, is realizing the ultimate reality being God, and all these other things are false and illusions. And the person, the energy that we devote towards them is, you know, is wasteful, an energy which could be directed towards something which is real and something which is true.
Well,
I think it's important to, like, this is one idea. Again, there are many ideas in shofar, but it's always easier to have something to think about. I mean, if you know other ideas, but when you hear the shofar, I mean, the mitzvah is constructed in a way, like he says, wake up. There is an emotional effect when you hear the shofar. It's like the sound, the alarm of the shofar, and it hits you emotionally somehow. It's like somehow it's an emotionally, you know, I'm not sure what the word is, but it involves you, it draws you in the mitzvah, you know. But you could take the mitzvah and just, you know, enjoy the mitzvah, or, you know, be yotzei the mitzvah and, like, you know, enjoy the experience, or you could use it as a stimulus to think about ideas. So the real Rosh Hashanah is accomplished when a person uses it as an impetus to really make changes in their lives, you know, and which go beyond Rosh Hashanah. I mean, certainly Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but even beyond that also, and to really think into life on a bigger perspective, and not just momentary changes in the middle of the, you know, for the day, but really thinking into one's life as a big picture. You know, so hopefully we could really take Rosh Hashanah and the Mitzvah Shofar in a way that could really move us towards tshuva. Okay? Okay, so what I'd like to do next, I guess next week, is continue on the Sugya, even though Rosh Hashanah will be over, but, you know, as we said, the tshuva continues and the Sugya Shofar continues. So, there's some points, I'm not sure the order, but I'd like to, one highlight I think I'd like to certainly do is the Rama and the Ravid. So maybe we'll start there, I'm not sure. There's a point which I was going to do today, but maybe we'll get to that. The Rambam is more exciting, the Rambam and the Rambam is very interesting. It's a very difficult Rambam. The Rambam is, it's on here, it's in the shelf, you can't miss it.
You would have liked you to actually speak more into the thing, so I guess if you wanted to move
Okay, well, we have to be done.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that, Yehuda. Yeah, so the Rambam, if you want to look at it, it's Gimel Dalet in Shofar. It's basically it. They'll have it. It's okay.
All right.